All right, good afternoon, everyone. Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. How are we doing? Everybody's tired. All right, fine. I'll give up now. Welcome to this session on reaching subgroups, learning from cervical cancer prevention and control. I'm delighted to be your moderator. I am Catherine Morrison. So what we've decided to do is that we're going to go ahead and have all the presentations. Each presenter will have about 20 minutes to speak, and then at the end of all the presentations, we'll open it up to Q&A. All right? Good. We're all on the same page. Excellent. So we're going to change the way that we're doing this just a little bit. We're actually going to have our first presenter, who is Dr. Ramin Asghari. Good. I've done good. Who is going to speak about cervical cancer screening, knowledge, attitudes, and practices among New York City homeless women. He is currently an assistant professor of population health and medicine at New York University School of Medicine, working with homeless populations. And I'll give you the floor.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for being here late afternoon. So, first of all, I apologize. I have to leave right after the sessions, but I leave my card here. If you have any question, please drop me an email. I'm more than happy to respond to the emails. So, I don't have any conflict of interest to declare. The objective of this session is for you guys to get for us to explain and discuss the rate of cervical cancer among your homeless population, as well as knowledge and attitude and practice in regard to HPV and a vaccine in a homeless population, women homeless population in New York City. And hopefully also be familiar with some of the strategies that I hypothesize that could potentially improve those rates.
Can you actually talk a little bit
into the mic?
Like that? Yep, there we go.
Okay, a little short for me, but that's fine. Yeah, so HPV obviously is pretty common and second leading cause of cancer death in women worldwide, not in the United States, worldwide. And in the U.S. causes around 4,200 deaths. Now, HPV is not the only reason or cause for cervical cancer, but up to like 65 to 75% of the cancer, cervical cancer happens due to the HPV infections. Now, it's the most common sexually transmitted disease in the United States with the numbers that you can see around 20 million people. The good thing with the cervical cancer is that we have a screening test that has good sensitivity and is effective and efficacious, and then we can use it. So it's potentially available, although the issue is going to be access. We're going to talk about it. And for HPV also, we have a vaccine now, which is available and is recommended. The problem with cervical cancer screening is that population that they are socioeconomically underserved, they don't have a good access to it. And there are misconceptions about HPV and cervical cancer, how often they're supposed to do it, and what is the cause of cervical cancers. There is some evidence, at least, that shows if we improve the knowledge, people may be more likely to actually go for cervical cancer. Okay, so it's kind of attitude, a little bit of self-efficacy, okay, that's at least. Now, how many homeless we have? Around 3.5 million homeless we have annually in the United States. Now, the homelessness has a definition in a way, and, you know, people are episodically homeless, or they are homeless over a period of time and or multiple time, and there is a definition of a chronic homelessness, which is like more than a paragraph, so I'm not going to get into that. But really, homelessness is a presentation of the significant social issues that people are facing, so they ended up being on the street. Now, the population of the homeless each night there is around 600,000, as you can see, and 15% of them are chronically homeless. It basically means more than 2 years, okay? In New York City, over the last 5 or 6 years, we have much higher number comparing to maybe 10 years ago. So generally, the numbers are pretty high. Now, most of the homeless, they reside in shelters, okay? Minority of them, they're on the street. But still, 3,000 in New York City is a pretty big number. Now, what are some of the issues that we have with the homelessness, associated with the homelessness? We don't know which one is a cause and effect, not all the time. You know, definitely, there's a high rate of the history of mental illness, substance abuse, including alcohol. And they're less likely to have a primary care provider, like many other subgroups and underserved population, and they are at increased risk of premature death. And it's interestingly, they're dying twice more than general population in New York City due to the cancer. So certainly their cancer, overall cancer death, not just cervical cancer. You know, they don't get a screening for the one that are available. And because of the history of discrimination that they have, they obviously are going to be less likely to use the system, even if it's available, even if they get, for example, Medicaid when they enroll into when they get to the shelter system. And, you know, for women, obviously, they are at higher risk of STD. Likely, again, these are associations because of history of childhood sexual abuse or early sexual activities, as well as when they actually end up being on the street, they are more likely to be substance abuse as well as alcohol abuse. So we don't really have a lot of data about the cancer screening among homeless. I don't know if you are familiar with that or not. In the U.S., we have maybe 8 or 10 studies altogether, and with that population that I just presented numbers. And for cervical cancer screening, I think we probably have two other studies. And in New York City, biggest number of the homeless, comparing to any other city, we have none. So so the data is not really a lot. Now, what we did was we basically enrolled. We have access. Where I work is a community medicine program and a population health that has got relationship with a lot of shelters in New York City, downtown Manhattan. And we basically run some of the clinics at the shelters. So we have access to that population. And we said, okay, let's just look into cervical cancer and HPV. We had obviously had some sense of what's going to show up, but systematically look into it. So what we did, we not only in the clinic, but also we went to the shelters and survey people. And we used a survey from NCI, as you can see up there. And basically went to the, we have probably around 18 shelters that we cover. And I think we covered around maybe 8 or 10 of them. So the inclusion criteria was every woman who is in age range, 21 to 65 years old and reside in a shelter. Now, because we were looking in HPV, so the recommendation is obviously for Pap smear. The lower age is 21, but because we were looking at the HPV as well, so we said we're going to go down the age line. We really wanted to capture a population less than 18 years old, but we didn't really have an access to that population in the family shelters. Okay. We looked at the duration of homelessness, these are self-reported, and then exclusion criteria obviously was, you know, the major issue with the exclusion criteria, I can tell you right now, is that obviously, we excluded the people who are not speaking Spanish or English. But our population, really less than 10%, we have population that are non-Spanish, non-English speaking. So definitely 10% of the population has been missed here. Okay, so just a quick look at the questionnaire. I'll give you a second to look at it. Some demographic. And about the last pap smear that they had and the one before the last one. And then goes to HPV, about their knowledge, how do they get the information? Do they know the relationship between HPV and cervical cancer? And then any result of the, you know, latest pap smear that they had. So what are the results? Mean age was 45 years old, and that's the standard deviation. And around 33% of them were homeless more than 1 year. And majority of our population were Black and Hispanic. Most of them were single adults. And as you can see, 10% were married. 75% of them were heterosexual, and the rest were a combination of others. Their education, obviously 62% high school or less, but also at the same time we had college graduate and some college. So they obviously end up being on the street as well with a college degree. 45% of them were smokers, and 30% of them at the time of the interview, they were contraceptive user. So that was a good news. Okay, not always a bad news. Close to 90% of them had pap smear in their lifetime, and you know, considering the age, average age, which is 45 years old, and around 75% of them they had the pap smear within the last 3 years. That's the recommendation. Okay, you're supposed to have it in the last 3 years. The national average, I think, is around 82%, and in New York City, for the same kind of ethnicity, the black, Hispanic, is around 85%. So they're around 10% below, at least, what we expect them to be in New York City. Now, 65% of them didn't know how often they need the pap smear, and we couldn't find any association between the race or sexual orientation, marital status, or ethnicity and race, education and age with a pap smear. Now, smokers were more likely to be up to date for a pap smear. Maybe they were afraid, I don't know. We have to look into that. Well, when we put everything in a regression model, actually nothing works. So it's just a bivariate analysis. I misplaced this one. It says the longer years of homelessness was associated with the more likely to be up to date with pap smear if they were longer homeless, the period of their homelessness. It means that the people who were homeless less than 1 year or acutely homeless, they were less likely to be up to date. Contrary to what you believe. The reason, I think, is, and I can discuss the reason anyway. I am in the middle of the result, but I'm doing the discussion at the same time. I think that the reason is that when they are, they have been into the system more, and they have been in contact, at least, with the health system, just because they have been in the homeless shelter system more. And so they were more likely to be provided the opportunity, and then have the coping strategies after being many years on the street or being homeless, so they know how to take care of themselves to some degree, okay, at least in regard to this one. And the newly homeless folks, definitely they don't have those. They don't know what to do. They don't know how they can get it and those kind of things. In terms of HPV, 40% of them, they never actually heard of HPV. Now, that the average age is 45 years old, okay? So at the time in the school, maybe that was not available. But I guess the most important issue was the healthcare provider didn't actually tell them about HPV and the relationship between HPV and cervical cancer. So that's the issue we can work on. Only 40% of them knew that there was a relationship between abnormal PAP. And around 40%, 45% of them actually thought that, if they got a vaccine, they have to continue to get a pap smear, which is a good idea. And we couldn't really find any association between the duration of the homelessness and the knowledge of the frequency of the pap smear that they needed, or any kind of if the relationship between HPV and cervical cancer, nor with the duration of homelessness and receiving any HPV information from a provider. So the duration of homelessness was not, bottom line, was not that important for any other association. So the major misconception really was the lack of understanding the relationship between HPV and the cervical cancer. Again, 40% of them never heard of HPV. Okay, that's huge. And I don't know if I said that or not. The rest of the people actually knew anything about HPV. Did they got it when they were in school? So as I said, around 30% of them were college or some college graduate, and through the peers and basically through the TV. And they thought with really HPV, it's a rare thing. It's not that common. And they didn't know that it's actually they can get it from a sexual contact or unprotected. So, the rate of the cervical cancer screening, one might say it was not that bad, okay? 75%, still definitely lower than the population in New York City, and certainly still room to work on it. Why not 95%? Why not 99%? And the reason that I say that is that there is always this perception that if you are homeless, you have other priorities in life. And so the provider, they actually go ahead and make a decision with you for you before even discussing with you, and they prioritize things for you. However, when you discuss with the homeless men and women in regarding the cancer screening, they actually say, because when they are in the system, first of all, most of them are unemployed at the time, so they're waiting for their apartment. Either they're in a dropping center or they're temporary housing, and they have a lot of time. If you're available, if you provide for them, they say, sure, why not? Because there's not going to be another time for me to do it. So we have the same study going on. This study actually is ongoing. So this data, I'm sorry, I forgot to say, is from 90 individuals, and we continue to enroll to really have a better sense because the number of sample size was small comparatively. And certainly there is a room for us to work with providers, nurse practitioner and physician, to counsel them regarding a relationship. And I think it was important, you look at the age average, they are not in the age range that they're going to get the HPV vaccine, that's for sure. But we use that as a surrogate to their understanding and transferring that knowledge to their, you know, daughters and the family members. And certainly that the knowledge in regard to HPV and relationship and knowing about how many times they need it, how often they need a cervical cancer screening is something that we have to work on it. And this is kind of like an opportunistic view, and then we can definitely get them to do a pap smear. It's not difficult to do pap smear. You know, every provider can do it in the office, done in the same day. But if in some situation we have to really continue, we have to bring them back, then the navigator is going to be helpful because they might have a lot of, you know, conflicts in terms of scheduling and they don't know what to do and where to go, then navigator potentially can help. Now, obviously, there are limitations to this study, a lot of them, okay? So we obviously didn't have necessarily the people who exclusively live on the street. And as I told you, this is less than 10% of the population of the homelessness. And we offered this, and you know, if they had significant social issues and didn't want to participate in the study because of all of those stuff that is around them, we probably missed them. And then so I hypothesized that likely the cervical cancer rate screening would be less because we missed that population who were have more difficulty. And you know, we talked about the non-English and Spanish speakers, and the rest of those. As you can see, I mean, most of the data was self-reported. You know, we didn't have income. We couldn't really see an association. As I said, the sample size was 90. At this moment, I think we have around 100. I know Victoria can tell us. I think we have around 150 altogether. But we haven't really analyzed it. We're hoping to really get 250, and so we have better information. Okay, cool. Thank you very much.